So they went out and they fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Afraid. Would you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Surprise! He is risen. He is not here. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It is always such a joy to say that word. On Easter, we've kept our hallelujahs at bay for the last 40 days. We have not used that word in church, not in a scripture reading, not in a song, not in a sermon. We've saved them for today. It's a word reserved for the praise of God. Hallelujah. We might translate that word as wow. Wow. What a word for today. The unexpected nature of Easter, it just never fails to amaze. You know, God grants us the freedom to go about day after day with our own thoughts and expectations, and then God loves showing up and disrupting our lives. Over and over again in the strange new world of the Bible, God shows up in strange times, with strange places, calling people to strange adventures. The writer Kurt Vonnegut said that most good stories occur when a character gets unstuck in time. Our lives only become interesting when, whether in moments of comedy or tragedy, the time of our lives are interrupted and disrupted because boredom tends to plague our days. So much so that we've been robbed of the expectation for intervention. We spend our days just going from one thing to the next, only to return home at night to sit down in front of a giant screen or a smaller screen, and we don't even know what to watch, so we spend more time trying to figure out what we're going to watch than we ever watch anything, and then we wake up and we do it all over again. But then Easter. Wow, surprise. God loves showing up and stirring things up. All of the Bible, all of church, all of the faith, they hinge on this day, Easter, resurrection. If this story were not in Scripture, we would have thrown out our Bibles a long time ago. Because if the Bible doesn't tell us this story, it tells us absolutely nothing. It is the day that makes all of our days make sense. And Easter is completely unexpected and inconceivable from our vantage point. Easter is an event that comes from heaven and breaks through everything we think we know about how life and death are supposed to work. Easter is a revolution. They go to the tomb. They go early in the morning, and what are they expecting? The same thing everyone has always expected in a graveyard: an ending. Pain and grief and sorrow. But lo and behold, someone has come and rolled the stone of the tomb. They peek inside. They see this strange figure clothed in white. He's not here. He's risen. He is on his way to Galilee. Go and tell the others. The ending they expect has become a beginning. And then they leave in fear. That's a bit odd, don't you think? I mean, here we are in the comfort of this beautiful sanctuary. We've got our color-coordinated outfits. Lilies abound, ready to be taken home after worship. Are we afraid? I don't know if anyone is afraid on Easter, but the women are. They are downright terrified. It's such a strange detail in what is already the strangest story in the Bible. And believe me, that is saying something. They don't run back to the disciples with glad and joyful hearts. They're not singing their hallelujahs. They are scared. They are scared because when fear occurs, it occurs when the unexpected happens. When we're not prepared for something, the way we usually respond is fear. When our reality comes undone, when life begins to unravel, how in the world could we respond in anything other than fear and trembling? But perhaps their fear, it comes from not just the fact that he is resurrected, maybe it also comes from another detail in this story. Some of you know that every Good Friday, I make my own pilgrimage in wherever I'm serving, whatever town I'm in, with a cross, with this giant cross upstairs here at the church. And every Good Friday, I take that cross and I walk through whatever town I'm in. I've been doing it for a decade now. So on Friday, I came and I went out these back doors with the cross. I made my way down Grandin past Patrick Henry High School, turned around, came back, went through Grandin, turned right, went down Memorial Bridge to back Black Dog Salvage, and then came all the way around again. It is a holy thing, carrying the cross. But if I'm honest, the thing I look forward to more than it being holy are the kind of reactions I get from people when they see me carrying a cross. Again, I've done this 10 years. I know that I shouldn't expect anything because the unexpected always occurs when someone carries the cross. On Friday, while I was carrying the cross, 3 different people pulled over to ask me if I needed a ride. I don't know if anyone ever in my life has offered me a ride, but on Friday, I got 3 offers, the first of which came from a very kind gentleman in a Mini Cooper. I thought, where are we going to put the cross? When I was making my way past the church for the first time, having gone down to Patrick Henry, I saw a gentleman running toward me. He was going on an afternoon run, and he had his headphones in, and he looked really focused, his breathing, and looking on the sidewalk in front of him. And when we got pretty close to each other, he looked up, and when he looked up, his toe clipped the sidewalk, and he fell right in front of me. So, of course, I threw the cross down, and I ran over to help him up, and he brushed himself off, and then he just started running like nothing happened. And for the first time in my life, I realized what Paul meant when he said the cross can be a stumbling block. That's a deep cut Bible joke for you out there. It's always amazing what happens when you carry the cross. I had a number of people stop to thank me, to thank Jesus. A few asked if they could pray with me, pray for me. I mean, it's just this magical, holy thing. When you take something the church has and you take it outside the walls of the church to remind people not just what we did to God, but what God did in return for us. When I was coming back toward the church, I was down here in Grandin by by the Grandin Theater, and I saw a grandfather, a daughter, and a grandson, and they were all walking. The mother was pushing her son in a stroller. The grandfather was there. And as I got close to them, I heard the mother say to her son, "Look, look, he's carrying the cross like Jesus." And as I got close, if you were here last week, we gave out these little plastic Jesuses. I've had mine in my pocket all week. And so when I saw the little boy in the stroller looking at me with the cross, I said to his mother, "Is it okay if I give him a little Jesus?" And before the mother had a chance to say anything, the boy, the 3-year-old boy in the stroller, said, "I would love a Jesus." So I put the cross down, I put my hand in my pocket, and I gave him a little plastic Jesus, said a little prayer for them, and then I got the cross to walk back to the church. But before I got out of earshot, I heard the grandfather say to his grandson, "See, today is the day we remember that people tried to kill Jesus, but Jesus was too strong, and he's going to come back and get everybody who did him wrong." And I, who have not yet learned to keep my mouth shut, turned around with the cross and I said, "Oh yeah, he's going to come back and get us with forgiveness." To which the trio stared at me awkwardly, and I skipped away with the cross and said, "I hope you have a good Friday." What is Easter all about? And why do we do this thing in church? Easter is about resurrection. It's about the dead being given new resurrected life. This morning in the cemetery, just a few blocks away, 6:30 in the morning, 40 or so people were there. We're watching the sun come over the horizon. We are singing our hallelujahs. We're reading scripture. I was preaching, and at the end of this beautiful service, there was a line of people who wanted to talk to me. None of whom are members of this church. In fact, none of them are members of any of the churches here in Grandin. They're all people in town because they're out of town. They're visiting Roanoke for the weekend. They looked around to see if anyone was doing a sunrise service, and they came to the cemetery, not because we were hosting, not because I was preaching, but because they have people buried there. One by one, people came up and said, "My mom is right over there. My son is buried there. My husband is over there." The last woman to talk to me is from Florida. She said that her aunt died a year ago, her favorite person on the planet, and she couldn't come to the funeral because her husband had leukemia. She said this is the first chance that she's had to come to Roanoke, and she said, I felt like I finally got to go to the funeral that I missed. I needed to hear the promise of the resurrection today. That's what Easter's about. But that's not the only thing Easter is about. Because that grandfather in Grandin was dead wrong. Easter is about forgiveness. Easter is about forgiveness. It's not just the declaration that death is defeated, it's also the message of mercy. Jesus returns to those who he shouldn't. That's why the women are afraid. It's because the figure says he's going to Galilee. That means that Jesus is coming back for the people who betrayed him and abandoned him and denied him, which, as surprising as it is, shouldn't come as a surprise. Because Jesus has always been in the business of forgiveness. All throughout the Gospels, Jesus shows up and he gives grace to people who don't deserve it. No matter how many times they mess up, no matter how many times we mess up, Jesus stays with us. Jesus is the good shepherd who willingly leaves behind 99 to go find the one who is lost. Jesus doesn't sit back, kick back, relax, and wait for things to work themselves out. Jesus goes into the far country and beats the bushes of life until the lost are found. Jesus, the prodigal father, who runs into the streets of life, who stops the wayward child before an apology can even spring forth and says, I am breaking out the best stuff tonight. We are going to party until the sun comes up because you were dead, but now you're alive. Jesus is the one who from the cross pronounces an all-encompassing pardon over the entirety of creation. Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. Easter, it's about forgiveness. On Easter, Jesus shows up not for the powers that be, but for people like you and me. And even on Easter, when Jesus shows up in the upper room where the disciples are hiding because they're afraid, because they've heard the news that Jesus is back, how does Jesus respond to his would-be disciples who have abandoned and betrayed and denied? He does not come with judgment. He doesn't come to berate them. He doesn't even damn them. He comes with open hands. The first word he says is peace, grace, love. How odd of God to save us in this way. Thus, John Wesley, the founder of this merry band of people we call Methodists, he said, it is a great thing to be able to say that God is love. It is another thing entirely to say God is love for me. For me. That's what the church is for. We're just a group of people living on this side of Easter who know that God is for me, for us. That our best days and our worst days, God is still for us. God delights in disrupting and doing things like this, gathering us all together, embodying a community of love and forgiveness in which no matter what we do, we can hear the good news. Jesus is risen and Jesus forgives. The figure in the tomb says he is risen and he's coming back for you. No wonder the women are afraid. Easter is so unexpected. Of course, in every part of our lives, there are expectations. But Jesus is all about the unexpected. Jesus doesn't wait up on the cross until we right all of our wrongs. He doesn't hide behind the stone in the tomb until there's enough goodness in the world. Instead, the proclamation of Easter is that we are forgiven. That we don't have to do anything to earn that forgiveness because the everything we've always needed is already done. Easter is about resurrection, but Easter is also about forgiveness. So hear the very best news. No matter what you've done or left undone, no matter how good you are or bad you are or somewhere in the middle, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen.